VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome to the VanWee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the VanWee Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam VanWee.
It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And we have three generations in the studio this morning, being joined by our upcoming expert in most everything. That would be Miss Taylor VanWee, Adam's youngest child. And she is here accompanying her father to keep him out of trouble for a whole hour.
That's
I presume
right.
That's the reason.
Of course. What else? Why else would she come?
I don't know. But I know she's been studying real hard the ways of personal finance and radio.
Right.
Actually, she seems just like one of us, because we've got headphones on. She's got headphones on.
I know. I think I'm going to have to take a picture of that.
I think maybe you should, or maybe I can get one that has both of you in it. But anyway, welcome everybody to our longtime listeners. Thanks for always being there. We, of course, need you. And to the new folks who might have heard about us or just be driving by with your radio on, stick around for an hour, and we'll hope that we all learn a little something, you from us and us from you. It's important to know that being a live radio show sets us apart from so many. I can't think of anything much worse than sitting there listening to someone drone on and on and on about the things that they care about talking about without a chance to interrupt, ask questions, learn whatever. So the lines are open. Callers will always, of course, go directly to the front of the line. I don't care if you interrupt market wrap even this week. I would have preferred you do it last week, but this week I don't even care if you do, because let's face it, we're just in a really good mood. The one thing that you can take away from this week is that whatever you think is going to happen in the market, you will be wrong.
Well, that's not necessarily true.
Well, it depends. Are you talking about 5, 10, 20 years, or are you talking about 1 week or 1 day?
You could get 1 day right.
Absolutely.
You can even get a week right, but if you try and predict the overall movements of the market, you will be wrong at some point. That's very true.
It was never quite so blatant, I guess, as it was this week when we started out well.
Well, this week I thought
it got better.
I thought it made more sense than last week. Last week,
I absolutely
we dropped 1,100 points last week on the Dow on almost no news.
No reason.
Yeah. So that was a little bit hard to predict. But this week, when you see something like that happen, there's usually a bounce back.
Exactly.
And there was, which we were very happy about. The Dow actually rose more than it dropped last week. It rose more than 1,200 points or 5.2%. Well, the NASDAQ had an even better week, gaining 5.6%. The S&P lagged the other indexes, and it only gained 4.8%, which I'll take all day long,
any week.
Yep. I had to go back and check my numbers for the show because I knew that it was a good week. I didn't realize it was that good of a week.
Well, it kind of snuck up on us on Wednesday.
It did, yeah, because it happened in a big pop on Wednesday. Right. And what turned that tide? That was a speech given by Fed Chairman Jerome Powell that wasn't as hawkish as it's been. I mean, he just basically changed his wording slightly, and the market loved it, of course.
When the Fed speaks, people listen.
Yeah, for sure.
Which is another whole story, and we will talk more about that.
He didn't say that there wouldn't be rate hikes in December or next year. He just said that they would be looking carefully going forward as to how they were affecting things.
I think that little blurb this week said in no uncertain terms except Fed speak, which of course makes it very uncertain terms.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was saying, okay, we're going to pass in December.
Oh, gosh, I don't know.
Now, the Fed has absolutely no obligation to you, me, or anybody else to support the stock market.
No,
Absolutely not in their mission
That's
statement.
Not what they do.
I got a whole blurb on it, which I'll get to, if not today, sometime soon. But that doesn't mean they're oblivious to what's going on. And by the way, Powell reports to who?
Well, he reports to nobody, really.
That's
but
true.
But he can't. He serves at the discretion of the president. Yeah. So,
and Trump made his point over the last few weeks that he's not happy with what the Fed's doing. Is it going to eventually have an impact? My answer to that would be not if there weren't other symptoms, like the market doing so poorly that week.
Right. Well, it's not just the market, too. There are other things. The economic data hasn't been as overwhelmingly positive as it was.
A lot of things
it's still really
down.
Positive, so don't get me wrong, but it's missing inflated expectations. So
yes, it is.
It's not growing as fast as what it was.
Which is a self-correcting problem because now expectations are falling again.
Right. So
making next year easier to win.
Absolutely. It's the same thing you see in earnings season.
It goes back to my age-old question. Who are those guys? They expected this and they expected
Well, in
that.
This case, it's pretty easy. They're economists that are in charge of making those predictions.
And here I thought it was someone I couldn't believe.
Right.
But it's economists.
Right.
Those guys who predicted 13 of the last 7 recessions.
Of course. Of course. They do that so well. And then the other headwind right now, I think, is in the housing market. It's been month after month, about 5 months of some pretty bad news in the housing market. Pending home sales are down. New home sales are down. Existing home sales are down. I mean, across the board.
Interest rate shocks.
Yeah, of course. And prices.
Shortage of labor. High prices, interest rate shocks equals slowing housing market.
Yeah, the home builder stocks have been pretty well hammered at this point.
Did you see what happened this week, though?
They got a little bump.
And they just yesterday closed above their 20 and 50 week or day moving averages.
Right, which is...
Now, I want a confirming day on that before I think about getting back in.
Right.
But that was a very encouraging sign. And the averages, of course, were headed down on a 45-degree angle.
They were.
But if you want to watch an interesting sector for the next few weeks, especially if that meeting on December goes without a rate hike, I think home builders might be in for a really good year next year.
We have to keep in mind that we're still way historically speaking, way underbuilding for the current population, too. And they say that millennials are not buying houses, but actually
That's
they are.
True.
It's not true at all. They are buying houses.
Don't you hate it when statistics get in the way of opinions?
Right, exactly. So I think that the home building, and we've said this for a couple of years now, we still think it has room to run, but I think people are adjusting to higher prices and higher interest rates and making tougher decisions than they were a couple of years
ago. Absolutely, and you're seeing the price curve level off.
Yeah.
The increase rate has slowed down. Now it's just good. It used to be fantastic.
And it needed to do that. When it was going up 10 to 15% a year, that was a recovery from the plummet that it had taken from 2008 to 2011. Yep. So now we've caught up back up to where they should be, and I think you'll see it level off to about the inflation rate.
Well, you're at the point now, or at least getting to the point, where replacement value and replacement cost and secondary purchase value are closing in on each other.
Right.
It used to be you could buy such a bargain that you couldn't build it for that no matter what. And so, of course, what did people do? They bought.
And they stopped building.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It costs you more to build than the neighbor's house is selling for next door. You're not going to build that house on that lot. You're going to
wait. And I want to remind everyone that housing is very local. So your market here in Jacksonville could be very different than what we're talking about. We're talking about national statistics. And if you want to know more about the local market, I would talk to Angela and Howard.
Absolutely.
They are much more in touch with the local market than we are. So just keep that in mind as you look at the housing market. But nationally, there are some problems in the housing market right now.
Okay. I want to touch on a few economic statistics, as I'm sure you do, after the break.
Yes.
Because there are some things out there that aren't just like housing. There are some things that are actually very encouraging going on. And a lot of it has to do with the state of mind of individuals, small business people, and corporate development and all kinds of things. And, of course, we've got to talk a little bit about Mary Barra being on Trump's bad side in General Motors and what she's doing. Because she has the audacity to be looking forward saying, there's some things we can capitalize on.
Mm-hmm.
So there. Anyway, we'll be right back right after the break. We will also give out the trivia question, which Adam has this week. So don't go anywhere. We will be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we have a trivia question, which Adam is doing this week, still brought to you by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. You can call Ken at 904-636-7888, commercial or residential, and you will probably get the man himself. All right. This has to do with one of my favorite topics called volatility.
Yes, it does.
Yes.
So I was thinking about this week and wondering how many times this year the Dow has crossed over a 1,000-point threshold, both up and down. And it was, the reason I was thinking about it is that we've seen a lot more volatility this year than last year, and I kind of wanted to prove that we had seen that, and I thought this would be a good way to do it. So if anyone gets the question right, or at the end of the show, I'll tell you how many it was this year and how many were last year. And
it is a finite number.
Yep.
It is above zero.
Yes.
And how close do you want it, plus or minus?
One.
Okay. We can do that. This year's a case of Newtonian physics, if you think about it. Last year, throughout the whole year in the market was plagued by a lack of volatility.
Yep.
This year, we have had an equal and opposite reaction.
Yes.
And it has been plagued by volatility, the type that renders people like us what's
nervous?
Yeah. You know, the hardest thing, I've said it how many times, including on this show a number of times, the hardest thing about our day jobs is those times like last week.
Yeah. When you,
not this past one, but the last one.
Fighting the urge to do something.
Yes. When you know there is no reason for what's happening, therefore the logical thing to do is to ignore it. It will go away. And look what happened. The snapback showed us exactly why we were right. That didn't make me a bit more comfortable 2 weeks ago.
No.
It sure feels good now.
It does, but man, it's hard sometimes.
All right, some other things that were going on in the market today, or this past week. I looked at things like jobless claims that were up sharply, according to the media.
Sharply, yeah.
Yeah. They're still way under 250,000.
Yeah, they came up to 234,000. The estimate was 224, I believe. Yeah. Uh-huh. It's still really low. It's not down at 208 where it was a few weeks ago, but it's nothing to worry about yet. So
that's for sure. And there have been some announcements like General Motors closing the plants. And I mentioned earlier that Mary Barra is on Trump's list and not the good kind.
No, he doesn't.
She's
like
announcing plant
plants.
Closing because they're taking advantage of the tariff situation. The good news is they're really smart about how they're playing the money. The bad news is it's a really short-term outlook she's taking in a business that has a long lead time.
Yeah, and the good news, I guess, is that there are a lot of jobs available right now, so hopefully those workers can find other jobs. That wouldn't have been the case just a few years ago.
No.
So I hope that they're able to find
work. $22 million a year. She better be right about some things.
Yeah, you better when you're.
I haven't necessarily seen a bunch of that.
No, not necessarily.
You know how much the head of Toyota makes?
Nope.
A very profitable, very excellent company in a similar business. He has paid $4
million. Wow, really?
Yeah.
That is.
You want some shareholder value, Mary? Cut your pay.
Yeah, that is a really low salary for a CEO.
It is. But look what he's doing. I bet he's got a lot of stock options, though.
Yeah, I'm sure he does.
You do, never feel sorry for the CEO of Toyota.
No, of course not. But that's a much better way to compensate a CEO, in my opinion.
Isn't it, though?
Yeah.
Sharing success.
Yep,
love it.
Exactly.
It's more American than that, even though it's a...
The other ones I wanted to touch on were personal income came in plus 0.4%, and personal spending was up plus 0.4% this month. So
all of the above.
Yeah, good signs that people are earning more, and then they're going out and blowing it on cheap Chinese junk. So...
Chicago PMI blew them out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Purchasing Managers Index. And what it means is that people are gearing up to ramp up production, at least across the Midwest. That was a good thing. Consumers are, of course, driving the market, spending and earning and spending and so on. And what that creates is a very healthy retail economy, which is 70% of our economy. So I'm looking at the jobs numbers coming out this week for the month of November, and I'm looking for a really, really strong GDP number next, well, in January they'll start looking back. But Christmas sales, this is the first time in my life, at least the first time I can remember, when people are actually forecasting an excellent Christmas season.
Mm-hmm.
It usually works the opposite.
Yeah, I mean, last year there were a few and the year before, mm-hmm. but this year there's been a lot more.
Yep, and Adam and I have laughed about this for decades, how every year going into it, oh, it's going to be awful slow this year. And then they add it all up in January and say, oh, that was pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, it should. I mean, there's no reason it shouldn't be the best shopping season ever.
Nope. And if you want to see either of us, I would say don't go to the town center because you won't see us there.
Look at my computer.
What a zoo that place is going to be.
Oh, my gosh.
Good for them, though, I say.
Yeah.
Very, very
definitely.
Good for them.
One other thing I wanted to mention. Yeah. We've been saying on the show for a while that keep your duration short in this market. Rising rates hurt long-term bonds. Yep. And I thought that there was a really good evidence of that this week. The 1 to 3 year treasury ETF SHY is up 70 basis points this year. The 20 plus year treasury ETF TLT is down more than 7%.
What about the seven to tens now?
They were down, but somewhere in between. I think it was about
I'm thinking that starting the shift from super short to medium duration
sometime soon, maybe next
year. I'll tell you, after the end of the Fed meeting this month.
Yeah, maybe next year.
Yeah, I might even start sooner than that.
Maybe. I don't know. That's a gamble.
Yeah. All right. I'm not the only one here who reads Money Magazine, I'm sure. I'm sure a lot of you get it. I was thumbing through the recent one a couple days ago, and I found this nice article about top 10 retirement cities in America. And I would pick bones with some of them just because I don't like cold and liberal cities and all that stuff. But they're basically what you might expect. Number one, Austin, Texas. Well, my favorite thing is cities that have a combination of government, education, industry, technology, all that stuff. So, yeah, perfectly logical. A bit on the liberal side for me, but what the heck. Number two, Raleigh, North Carolina. That's in the Research Triangle. It satisfies a lot of the same things. Number three, Virginia Beach, Virginia. Well, that's got a lot of heavy industry, like boat building, that sort of thing, a lot of Navy. A little too close to D.C. for my taste, but still makes sense. Number four, Mesa, Arizona. Close to a big city, great weather, all those things. Number five, Seattle, Washington.
Too expensive.
It's a vital city. There's no doubt about it. Things move. Wouldn't find me there. Number six, San Diego, California, the garden spot of America, right?
Great city, also expensive.
Yeah. Number seven, Colorado Springs. For natural beauty and outdoor sports, where are you going to go better than that?
Mm-hmm.
And it's got the Air Force Academy. Number eight, Lexington, Kentucky, for you horse people. Beautiful farms, nice fences. Number 10, Columbus, Ohio. Now, what was wrong with that sequence? There's something missing.
Number nine?
Yes. Number nine is some place called River City, Florida, or we might know it as Jacksonville.
Oh, I like that.
We made number nine by Money Magazine for places to retire in America. They screened cities smaller than 300,000 weren't included. They took into account things like attractions, great neighborhoods, and promising job growth. So the cited positives for Jacksonville include the land area, number one in the country, of course, 9% population growth over the last 8 years. Job growth expected 7.7% by 2022. The Jaguars and other sports. 22 miles of coastline on the Atlantic. Pet-friendly beaches. Riverside Arts Market. The St. John's River. And the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that wasn't in there.
Oh, I might have just thrown that one in.
Right.
But they did all the
other. If they knew about it, I'm sure they would have thrown it in.
Yeah. I was just helping them out a little bit. So I might add, in addition to all that, the mild winters are nice. The weather in general is good. Proximity to a large airport. The accessibility of St. Augustine with all of the great history. Exceptional golf courses. Reasonable real estate. No state income tax.
Mm-hmm. For now.
A conservative, patriotic, military-friendly population. Inland coastlines that are nearly uncountable from all of the different bodies of water, great fishing, a growing middle class, and rampant increases in technology. And that didn't take me very long to think about it.
No.
So I think that the bottom line here is that we're looking at a pretty good place to spend out a lot of time.
Yeah. If we could just do something about our crime rate, we'd really have something.
Yeah. That there's some things that I didn't put the other list on there, the things that are wrong.
Yeah. Well, there's always going to be that in any city.
And there are some of them. Okay. Well, you all mostly know what we do for our day jobs. We don't just do radio because, well, frankly, we'd go broke.
That's true.
Nobody's really paying us.
No.
Anyway, I thought it was interesting. Schwab put out a survey recently that quantifies the value that people get when they use a financial advisor, a qualified advisor. And I think you'll find it very interesting. I'm not going to do it until right after the break. But meanwhile, why don't you run through a couple of things about how to contact us. We've got a few seconds before the break. If you want to see us and make an appointment, Adam will tell you all the highlights.
Yeah, I will. If you want to see us, just go to our website, www.vanweefinancial.com. Or if you're not tech-friendly, you can always call us on the phone, 904-685-1505. If you go to our website, you'll see that you can book a meeting from there, which is a link right on the top of the page. And also check out our Twitter and our podcast, which is available on SoundCloud, iTunes, and a bunch of other places.
And I'm going to talk more about our blogs that are always on there and always being updated when we get back also. All right, don't go anywhere. We've got to take a short break. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Van Wee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And our trivia question is still open, brought to you by First Coast Alarm, 636-7888. Adam's got it.
I was looking at some data this week and wondering how many times the Dow has crossed over a 1,000-point threshold this year, both up and down combined. So there's been a few.
I'm going to narrow the range. It was more than twice.
Yes.
So there you go. All right. I got to mention again that lines are open. We'd love to hear from you folks. So I know people don't know everything out there, and a lot of people do have questions. Don't hesitate to call. And, of course, if you want your questions answered and you are too shy to do a radio call, which you shouldn't be because we certainly don't bite, just send us an email off of our website.
Just info@vanweefinancial.com.
Yep, we'll always do it. But, you know, we talk a lot about our day jobs and what advising people on their overall financial situations means. And a lot of it is involved in pure investing. So I've read this recent report from Charles Schwab Company, who's one of the four or five big custodians. In fact, I spent several years using them. We switched over to TDA because it more suits the business that Adam and I are in. But they would come up with the same thing. But this report shows that participants in SDBAs, do you know what those are?
No.
Self-directed brokerage accounts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's all it means.
I've never heard that acronym before.
I don't have any reason to use acronyms for something that simple, but they've did it, I guess, to save some space in the article. Anyway, the ones who work with an advisor had larger balances, they had greater asset diversification, and they had less exposure to individual stocks than participants who go it alone. None of those things surprises me. The report highlights the benefits of working with an advisor, said the corporate brokerage retirement services of Schwab. In general, participants who had professional help were more diversified across all their holdings. That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
In addition, advisors typically rebalance a portfolio more often and keep their clients invested.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all good things. Good morning to Auntie Esty.
Well, good morning, Van Wees.
Not my aunt, but pretty close. Right?
Somebody's aunt.
Somebody's aunt, and somebody's aunt who's maybe in this room with us.
Well, I understand that you have a special guest there today.
We do indeed. She's paying a lot of attention.
No, she's engrossed in Netflix, it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have a question for her. We wanted her advice on what the most popular toy for children her age is these days.
Oh, gosh, you're calling the wrong show. I have no idea.
I tell you what, in the next break, we'll get her attention and ask her and talk about it afterwards. How's that work for you?
Okay. That worked great. Just wanted to make sure she acknowledged that I was listening to her.
Well, we'll tell her there's something in it for her.
That's right.
When the public knows what kids want, you never know.
It does seem like every year there's a crazy toy that's, I think last year it was something like Hatchimals, or maybe that was 2 years ago when everybody had to have it. They were selling on eBay for like 16 times the retail price.
Remember Tickle Me Elmo?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, that one, I got to say, I love that one.
Yeah, the Razor Scooter was one.
Yeah.
And if you're an old person like me, go back to Cabbage Patch Dolls.
I was just going to say, I remember buying those for Jen and Jess.
Oh, you just established your age.
Oh, thank you. Exactly how old I was. All right, fellas, have a great day.
Take care.
All right.
Keep listening. All right. We'll ask her, okay? Yeah, I guess I'm kind of out of that market right now, right? No more. Anyway, Schwab says that with retirement plans, they looked at about 137,000 participants with accounts at Schwab. Only 19% of them chose to rely on an advisor, but they reported an average balance of $449 versus only $234 between advised accounts and non-advised accounts.
$234,000 or $234?
$234,000 versus $449,000.
Okay. Okay.
That's a big difference.
That is a big difference.
Now, they didn't say that it was age-weighted or anything. You'll have to tell you the potential shortfalls on the reporting, too. In the advised accounts, mutual funds accounted for the biggest share of the assets at about 50%, followed by ETFs at 22%, and individual stocks at 20%, with the remainder in cash and fixed income. On the other hand, non-advised accounts had the largest share of assets in individual stocks at 35%, followed by mutual funds at 32%, ETFs at 15%, and cash and fixed income at 18%.
That's a little surprising.
Except for the part where you know that a lot of do-it-yourselfers believe in stock picking.
That's true.
And if there's one thing that everybody should take home from listening to shows like this and reading studies like this, the more individual stocks you try to pick, the more you're spinning your wheels.
Yeah, no doubt. Because you might hit a winner, but for every winner, you're probably going to pick two losers.
Yep. Now, this being December, I'm going to spend some time in every show talking about year-end tax planning, and a lot of it has to do with things like ETFs and mutual funds. And starting today in the fourth segment, I'm going to do a piece on how to handle mutual funds and avoid some of the pitfalls and improve your situation on them. Anyway, the biggest holdings for the non-advised accounts were Berkshire Hathaway, which...
Okay, that one is...
just a mutual fund
exactly.
With a single symbol. The other ones were Apple and Amazon.
Well... they probably had a pretty good first half of the year.
Apple is no longer the largest company on the exchange.
No, it dropped below Microsoft.
Yep.
And
I can't believe that. A company like Microsoft that seemed to be stagnant for so long.
A lot of people thought they were dead.
Yeah. And now they are the largest company in America.
Yeah. And Apple's in bear market territory, too.
Yeah. That's strange. Mm. Now, what's my answer for that? Own the QQQ.
Yeah.
You get a lot of both.
Well,
bunch of others.
You almost can't buy an ETF without some Apple in it. It's crazy how much it makes of the major indexes and the major ETFs.
All right. Now, directly related to that is how much money people have saved and how much would be a good idea for them to save. And Adam's got some numbers on that might be enlightening.
I do. I pulled this out of a recent article that I saw. And if you're in your 20s and you're just starting out, the recommendation is that you put away 15% of your pre-tax income. And the actual median is $16,000 savings. So that's pretty good for your 20s. I mean, it's hard to get started. The hardest part about saving is getting started.
Yep.
So you don't get the benefit of compounding until you have some money. So it's just it starts really slowly and ramps up from there. If you're in your 30s, the recommendation is twice your salary. So if you make $50,000, it should be about $100,000. And the median for people in their 30s is $45,000. Now, that's not bad, but it's also starting to fall behind because I'm pretty sure that most the median wage in your 30s is not $22,500. So
I hope not.
You're definitely the 30-somethings are not getting to twice their salary. If you go to 40-somethings, it looks a little bit worse. So you're supposed to have three
That's
to
not
four.
Encouraging.
No, and it keeps getting worse too. 40-somethings are supposed to be 3 to 4 times their salary, and they have saved in general $63,000. So unless you're
making 15 grand, you're right on. You're
doing great, yep. But most people, that's probably about one time their salary. Is that I'm thinking that's somewhere in the near the median household income.
Mm-hmm.
50-somethings supposed to be 6 to 8 times salary. They have 117,000. Well, at least we're in six figures, but in your 50s, you are really close to retirement. So $100,000, 117,000 going into retirement, not really going to cut it. 60-somethings, 8 to 10 times your salary, and the median savings is 172,000. So there is a pretty big jump between 50 and 60-somethings, but taking 172,000 into retirement is, if you're using the 4% rule, you're not going to have a lot of money.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's
not good news, people.
No. So that's less than, what, $7,000 a year you could pull out of that safely?
And add Social Security to that, and what do you got? Not much of a lifestyle.
So the median savings between 55 and 64 is $104,000. Oh. And if you put that in an inflation-protected annuity, $310 a month they'll pay you, roughly.
Don't spend it all in one place.
Yeah.
All right, some headlines from the past week. On Thursday, here's why the stock market will fall 40%. Oh, really? So I decided I'd try to figure out why he says that. But his explanation is, well, the reason is a little technical, in his words. Okay, forget it. Your state owes you mortgage refund checks. You must claim them. No. They don't owe you anything, period. And then on Friday, Trump to end the U.S. dollar as we know it in 2018. Oh. Then it goes on to say, by January 29th, 2019, Trump could reboot the dollar. First off, how much of those 29 days in January are actually in 2018?
None of them.
I didn't think so. And guess what these people are doing? They're selling gold.
Shocking.
Isn't that amazing? All right. I got some tax stuff coming up after the break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And this segment is brought to you by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. Call Troy at 662-9794. Trivia question remains out there. How many times have we crossed those 1,000-point barriers up and down this year? A lot more than last year is the answer to that.
A couple of things. We did ask my daughter what the hottest new toy of the year was for Christmas, and she says she doesn't know.
And she said, like kids everywhere, I really don't want anything for Christmas this year.
Right.
Something, oh, wait, that wasn't exactly what she said.
Yeah, she's giving us dirty looks.
we're not helping much, are we?
No.
I'd go back and try to buy a used Tickle Me Elmo.
Okay.
There you go.
You could.
I'm sure they're available on eBay.
The couple of other things. One thing, JEA, update on that situation we've been talking about off and on. They selected a new interim leader as the CEO. So it was the guy that they picked to be the interim leader that got hired for the full-time job. His name is, where is it? It is Aaron Zahn, I think. Yeah.
Sounds right.
So I don't know much about him. But they are moving forward, looking like a company that is not getting ready to get sold. My guess is that it doesn't go through.
I'm with you.
Yeah, it just doesn't make financial sense. I don't get it.
It's an awfully large change for people to accept in a kind of sort of a pressure environment. Good morning, Larry.
Hey, Steve. Hey, Adam. How you guys doing?
Great. You got a little more chance to plug your deal.
A little bit. It's coming up fast.
Yes, it is.
It's coming up very, very fast.
You believe it's December already? Wow.
I know it. I know. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
I think last week when I called, we had raised, 17 or 18,000?
That sounds right.
Hunger fight. And we're almost to 22,000 now.
All right. Keep pushing.
It's still coming up, still coming up. So tickets are still on sale. All the VIP tickets have sold out for both performances.
Oh, wow. Nice.
So seats are all that's left, but they're $5 a piece. Come out and hear Handel's Messiah, give to a great cause, hunger fight, feeding food insecure kids in Northeast Florida. There's 90,000 of them in Duval County alone. So it's an incredible cause. All your donations are going to go to that. So hope to see some of your listeners. Maybe they'll come out. I would love to see them there. And hopefully you guys, I don't know if you got tickets yet, but hopefully we'll be able to see you guys there too as well.
All right, good. I noticed on our website this morning that the link to the Messiah for Hunger is dead center in our blog section.
It is, yeah. It actually goes to an article that was that has you guys featured in it, which has the link to the website. Okay. So I wanted to
follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Wanted to show everyone the article that the news did. It was a nice write-up on you guys.
Yep. Good.
Yeah, it really was. They did a great job with that. Nice little segment. And so
'tis the season. Yeah,
it is. It is, and it's going to be a great program. The choir is basically ready. Got the orchestra coming in for rehearsal this week. Got great. The harp chord coming into the church on Monday, so it's going to be a busy week.
Nice. Good luck.
So, thanks, man. Well, I wanted to try to guess the trivia.
Okay.
I'm going to guess, I don't have anything to base it on, but I'm going to guess 6.
Way too low.
Yep.
Oh, way too low.
Way too low.
Oh, great.
Like I said, capital V on volatility this week, mm-hmm. this year, I mean.
Yeah, no kidding. And I got to tell you, in that last segment, when you were talking about the savings and, you know, the target amount and everything, y'all know I'm a saver, but y'all had me paranoid. I'm like, my goodness, I got to find another way to save some.
We all do the best we can.
Yeah, exactly. That's just, you know, it's just a general guideline. It's not like if you don't do any of those things specifically that you're going to fail in retirement. It's definitely not the case, but it is a good thing to shoot for. I mean, you got to have a goal. So set a goal and try and get there.
Well, much more importantly for people like you is look where you were 5 years ago. Look where you are today.
For sure.
And say, where have I been? Where am I going? And my gosh, it's been a good 5 years.
It has. It has been. A lot of thanks to you guys for that too. And if you're listening out there and you aren't affiliated with these guys yet, you need to give them a chance. They're great, great guys, and they do a great job. So I wouldn't be with anybody else.
Well, we appreciate it.
For sure. Yeah.
Thanks, Larry.
Absolutely appreciate it.
You guys have a good weekend.
Okay, we'll talk soon.
We'll see you next weekend. Yep,
okay.
Sounds good.
Bye.
All right,
tax planning. Boy, December is a month for that. And we got a call coming in. Hang on. I don't want to get involved here. Another Larry, perhaps? Good morning.
I'm going to use Lawrence so I won't be confused with some. Very quickly. I won't burn your time.
No problem.
Appreciate the live show. I'm going to shoot at 12.
Way too low.
Yep. Way too low. Wow.
Yeah.
Good. All right.
And at the end of the show, if nobody's gotten it, Adam will also tell you what it was like a year ago,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to be blown away by the difference.
I probably will. I appreciate it. Live No Jive on World Tour, Family Financial.
Thanks so much. Appreciate the call.
Later.
All right. A lot of things can be planned for in December, and you have to sort of prioritize them. And I'm talking now to investors, primarily those who have brokerage accounts that are not tax deferred, not retirement accounts, but not completely. And I'm going to be doing one of these segments every week for the month of December because some things can be done later than others. Buying a dividend, meaning how you deal with your mutual funds, cannot wait because there's some dates coming up, some things you need to know. Dividends from a corporation are the way the company distributes some of its profits to the company's shareholders. A lot of us really like dividends. The dividends for direct equity holders are a source of investment income, and they go in to make up what we refer to as total return, the part of the total return in your investment accounts. Different companies pay them differently. There are some monthlies, a lot of quarterlies, some semi-annuals, some annuals. Some companies will declare a non-recurring special dividend on top of the regular ones, which just means one special payout at some time of the year. Now, in general, here's the way the things shape up. The board of directors sets the amount of the dividend per share on the declaration date, which is also called the announcement date. Second is the record date, which means that the owners of the stock, the owners of record of each share, at the close of business that day will receive the dividend. The next day is called the ex-dividend date. That's the first time the seller is not going to own the stock anymore, but the buyer owns it. The seller is receiving the dividend because he still owned it on the dividend date, the payout date. And then there's the payment date, which could be any number of days in advance of the ex-dividend date. Some pay quite quickly, others do not. The dividend becomes taxable to the owners of record on the record date. So let's say they had a record date of December 15th and a payable date of January 5th. That is taxable to you this year, as if you received it in December. Don't get fooled by that. Who will receive the dividend? Well, it'll be the owner of record, as we say, but often the owner of record is a mutual fund. Now, here's the way it works with a stock. Let's say you had a $20 stock and declares a $1 dividend. On the payable date after the close of business, the dollar's paid out and the stock opens up on the market the next day, in this case at $19. It's reduced by the value of that dividend. Mutual funds own a lot of stocks if they're the equity type or some portion equity type, and they get paid out too. But by law, they have to distribute those to their shareholders. And if you own the shares on that date, you will get a distribution, and that distribution will be taxable to you if it's in a brokerage account. You don't want to buy a share of stock that's about to do a distribution right before the distribution. You want to wait till afterwards. That process is called buying a dividend. You have no more money, but you have a tax bill. Not a good thing. So what do? You go to the website, and I've just for the heck of it, chose Oakmark because so many of you are familiar with it, and found out that they are paying on December 12th. So if you buy an Oakmark fund between now and the 11th of December, you have made a mistake, or even on the 12th. The first day you want to buy an Oakmark share is the 13th. You're not going to get paid that dividend. You will not have a taxable event. And those few days aren't going to make a great deal of difference in the share value, but the share price will drop, and you'll actually wind up with more shares by doing that. Also, if you own it already, don't sell it necessarily. There are two sides to that, whether you want to take a loss or not. And I'll get more into detail on that, plus another topic next week, because we are running out of time. We've got to handle the trivia question. Take it away.
Yeah, so the answer was 37 times this year the Dow has crossed a 1,000-point barrier in either direction, and about 18 of those were negative. Last year, it was only 14 times. So you can tell there's been a big difference in volatility. And last year also, I believe 5 of those were negative. So
yeah,
much more positive last year than this year.
That was
year.
The big rise.
Yep.
This year, we've taken a very roundabout trip through ups and downs to go just a very little bit of direction.
Exactly.
All right, more next week. We're out of time. Sorry. Have a good weekend, and we'll see you then. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.